This is an interview with Costantino Panagaris on Wednesday, the 18th of September 2013, at his home in Highbury. The interviewer is Helen Haltis, and the interview is being conducted as part of the Greek Migration Experience, Oral Histories Project, and OIGA Initiative. It is funded by the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program, Sharing Community Heritage Stories. Welcome, Con, and thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed.
Thank you for having me on your program.
Lovely. Now, can you, for the record, can you please give us your full name?
Yes, Costantinos Panagaris with a K, Australianised to Con.
Okay. Where and when were you born, Con?
I was born in Pyrgos, Greece, in the state of Elias, on the 11th of the 5th, 1944, a war baby.
Yes, you were, weren't you? And how many children did your parents have?
My parents had 10 children, lost three during the war, the seven surviving children. I am the oldest at the present moment, and the three that are lost before me, deceased during the war. Mm.
And you told me on the previous interview, in the preliminary interview, that your dad went to war, for World War II.
Yes, my dad went to the border of Albania, fighting the Italians. Very bad experience, like all wars are. And he came back to Pyrgos. He actually walked all the way back to Pyrgos, and my mum had to go and collect him from the square because they were... what is the word I'm trying to... The Greek is creeping in.
That's okay, say it in Greek.
Aphasia. Mm-hmm. In other words, I think memory loss.
Oh, right.
Of who they were. Mm. Shell-shocked or whatever. War injuries.
War injuries.
It took a long time for my dad to come back to health, but fortunately he did. And, yeah.
Hmm. Now, that must mean that he had children before he went to war.
Yes. He had four with me. I was a baby, like I said. He lost the oldest when he came back at the age of eight, the child. The other one was 2 year old, and it was a miscarriage, and then I came along.
Mm. So even though he had three children, he was still conscripted for the war.
Yes, he was. He was conscripted, and Mum had it very hard with three children left behind.
How did Mum survive during this time that Dad was at war?
Well, they did have property outside of Pyrgos, about 20 minute walk, about 17 acres of land, and there was leased out, or whoever could cultivate it, but he bought a couple of goats so Mum can feed us with the milk from the goats. And she ended up with more goats as the time went along. When Dad came back, found a herd of goats. And yes, that's how we survived.
So what did Dad do for a living once he was back from the war?
He came back and realised that there was money to be made through selling the milk, because there were people coming asking for milk in the neighbourhood. And then he realised, let's make a business of it, and he became the milkman in the city, yes.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, he was.
Now, the time that you were there, you were growing up, obviously, could you remember much about your childhood?
I do remember quite a bit, actually. I do remember that we were told certain places that we were not allowed to go because there were people that were taken by the Germans and executed. So we weren't allowed to go in those places. The schools, it was half-day schools because they were knocked down by the war. So we would go in the morning from 7 till 1, come home, and then from 2, other kids would go till five. I'm not 100% on this, but five till two till about five or seven. I'm not sure.
Mm, so it was two shifts.
Two shifts, a lack of, because of lack of schools in the city. There was a lot of ruins. There was a lot that I had seen as a child. There were bullets that we used to find. There were kids that were injured by explosion of the bullets. We used to go summer camps with the school, because in Greece, 3 months of summer, the boys used to go 1.5 months to camp, come back, and the girls would go. There was a certain track that we had to take and not deviate from there, because they still had mines on the beaches. And actually, I did see a horse and cart blow up, and we all did. And it was pretty horrific to see that. Other things, as the time progressed, and I can remember more, there was the Karagiozi, which is something like a puppet show that was and still is, I think, popular in Greece. And yes, friends that I grew up with, we all roamed together in the neighbourhood.
So would you say you had a happy childhood?
It was, because I had no commitments. Somebody else was having the commitments other than me being a child. I was growing up. I had full stomach, thank God. My parents were not destitute in a way. We always had plenty in the house. Although, I will got to say that at school, they used to give us meals. I don't know if the government subsidized or the parents paid for it. I cannot remember that, but we were fed well. But also remember that some of the children that used to come from the farms and so on, they used to come with a bread and a bit of sugar to sprinkle on their bread. And I couldn't understand that. And I asked my mum if I could have the same, to be the same as the others. And she told me that they had nothing. We are all right.
So you were the lucky ones, weren't you, compared to the others?
I think we were. We were.
Yeah, you were very lucky. Very now, lucky. What prompted your parents to think of migrating to Australia then?
Okay. My parents said, like I said, they had 10 children. They lost three. My dad had a farm outside of Pyrgos, about a 20-minute walk in kilometres. I cannot say how long it would have been. And it was 17 acres, which was not enough, my dad thought, for five children as they'd grown up. And at the time, he heard people talking about Australia. He and mum were talking about it. And I was always included, of course, at the dinner table. That's where they did most of the talking. And I was listening, and they said, what do you think about it? They got a lot of sheep there, they say, and a lot of land. Australia was just a name. We didn't know anything about it. But Dad found out about it and said, oh, we can't go. Mum said, why not? Said, because we've got five children, only their mare, which is...
assisted passage.
Assistance package to Australia, or passage, would not accept a family of five, and they would not accept people from the city. They would only accept people that were destitute, and people that had come from the war had nothing to work for. So... at the time, I don't know what prompted me to say, Dad, I'll stay back. They looked at me, didn't say anything. But he came up again, we spoke again, and Mum said, well, he can go and stay with my sister. And we'll go for 2 years and come back. I think that was the going thing at the time. Come here for 2 years, become a millionaire and go back.
So true.
Well... I said, okay. To me, I didn't know where they were going anyway. But my dad being from Pyrgos, or the city, you weren't allowed to come. It was another stumbling block. My mother's brother, he was with the Greek Navy and pretty high up. And the old saying is, who you know, what you know. Meson in Greek.
Yes.
And got the ball rolling, but they did not do all the medical examinations or anything. They kept it very quiet from the neighbours and everybody else. I had to go to a place called Amalyada, which is the second largest city in the state of Ilias, to go through the doctors there. And we moved as a unit, the whole family, so there was no letting on what was happening. It didn't take that long because, like I said, I was 10, 11, I came to Australia, so it would have taken months before they got through. But our dad always had something to say. The thing was, when he went to go through medical, they rejected him simply because his hands were too soft, he wasn't a worker, and he was too slim. He wasn't fit, or he wasn't supposed to be strong enough to do the work that they required here in Australia. So somebody told him from where he was doing the medical, I don't know, he must have been a good person, to go and rub his hands with gravel and drink a lot of water and go back again.
So he would have the weight.
Yeah. So he actually did that and got through. Thank God he did. Anyhow, he got through, got all the paperwork done, and they talked to me and said, look, we are going. All together, we're going to drop off at the place called Lehena, which is another town outside of Pyrgos, where my auntie worked for the railways, and she had five children of her own. And I stayed with them until my parents were supposed to bring me to Australia or come back to Greece. It was hard for Mum and Dad, and me, I was indifferent. I didn't know what was happening, to be honest. I knew that they were going, but how far they were going or how long before I see him again didn't register, because I didn't feel any remorse. When they did arrive in Australia, I always got a letter and I got a pound note. I was the richest kid in town.
Yes, yes.
It went on for a while. My auntie used to take some of the money because there was some way she could survive too. In no time at all, I was ready to go through the medicals and everything, all the examinations to come to Australia. Of course, I could go to Pyrgos because I wasn't there anymore.
Of course, yeah, as far as your neighbours and friends and family in Pyrgos didn't know where you were.
Exactly. So my medical examination was all done in Athens.
Going back a little bit here, when your parents came to Australia, did they tell you a little bit about their journey here?
They did say their journey was very long. They had rough seas. Plates were going from one side of the boat to the other. To me, it was just words, because unless you experience something like that, you don't understand. I knew that they arrived in Australia. They were happy with where they came. But I do know that they missed me.
Oh, they would have. Of course they would have, yes.
Of course, there was no telephones.
Yes.
Only letters, and that was time-consuming, waiting to hear from...
That took a long time to get...
It took a long time.
The mail, yes. Now, when they arrived in Australia, they would have arrived in Fremantle first, and then Port Melbourne.
Yes.
And then Bonegilla.
Bonegilla, Woodside.
Woodside.
And then they came to the hostel in the corner of North and West, or Port Road, West Terrace Port Road.
Which is the Elder Park.
Which is Elder Park Hostel. They didn't stay there long. They had some relative here, distant relative, that helped them find a house on the Port Road at Hindmarsh. and they resided there until I came. It was a two-bedroom house, not a very well-to-do house. It was just an old, very old house which has been knocked down since.
Very
And
basic
yeah, excuse
accommodation.
me.
And what work did Dad do once he came here?
My mum never worked. She had the five children. My dad worked for the railways when he first came here, not for very long, because the money was not enough. And GMH wanted workers, and he started working for General Motor Holdens at Woodville plant as a press operator during the night shift, because there was a penalty rate that was paid for the night shift. And yes, that's where he ended up his working career
So he worked at Holden's for a
all the
very long
time.
time.
Yes, yes.
So after a while, they could see that they could make a bit of money here, and they gathered enough to bring you across. Can you
Yes.
tell us what happened there? Did they pay for your fare?
They did. They paid for my fare, and they actually brought me out by aeroplane
That would have
back
been
in
very
London.
unusual for the 1950s.
1955, to be exact. And in actual fact, it was September the 15th that I arrived in Adelaide in 1955. It was Dutch, KLM, Dutch airline, with the passengers, 79 people on board. There was five children that were in a similar sort of situation as I was, including myself. There was five. There was one other girl here in Adelaide. I don't know if she's still here. And if I can remember her name, I can't at the present moment.
That doesn't matter.
Anyway,
It's okay. All
there was
right.
one other girl.
Now, I looked at your passport and it says Destination Australia via Egypt, Iran, Pakistan, Singapore, India, Indonesia, and the last entry is Mascot Airport. Now, what an adventure for a child.
It was a great adventure. I wish I could do it now.
Really?
Oh, really? Because simply, we flew all day. We left Athens, as you could imagine, this time of the year in Athens, it's summer. Very hot. But Egypt was not just hot, it was burning. I have a distinct memory of getting off the plane and going straight under the wing to get it away from the sun. It was so hot. They took us every night to a motel or hostels, depending on what country you were in. In Egypt, it was a hostel. And we could hear the, I don't know what they call the Muslim priests, the mushta or something like
Mustafa.
that, wailing all night. Being a kid, I didn't know what it was all about. And I kept asking, and people were laughing. Some of the people that were traveling, they had just come back from the war of Korea, and they knew what was going on. They were telling us this. But it was an experience, that's for sure. Now, the other memory that I have, which stayed close to my memory, is Bombay in India. Bombay was the first place that I thought I'd be able to get Greek food again or see something that I could eat. Because in the plane, if you could imagine, there was no lining. It was just the bare skin of the plane. And I would stick my cheek on the side of the skin to cool down because it was so hot. They gave us wagon wheels, chocolate, and bananas. I had not seen a banana in my life before. Chocolate I had, but bananas I had never seen before. We ate as much as we could eat, and whatever was left there, it went off. And the smell, even up to this day, I cannot put a banana close to my face.
So when you
Now,
got to Bombay, what did you expect?
Bombay, I expected the same as what I thought, like I've seen in the other places, but it was a Sunday. Or it was Friday, a Saturday night, and Sunday they did not fly. So we had a whole day. And there was a gentleman, Indian gentleman, who was married to a Greek girl. He was a, well, found out afterwards he was a doctor, and was waiting for his papers to be processed to go to live in Greece. At the time, the Greek government was run by a person by, escapes me, doesn't matter, Papagos.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of red tape, he was saying. But anyway, this gentleman took us everywhere. He paid for our meals. I thought he was a millionaire. He must have been well off to pay for all our meals, and took us to the botanical gardens. I've never seen a peacock before in my life, or bird, exotic birds that they have in the tropics, and there was really something magic for me. And it's still in my mind. But because I hadn't eaten anything, whatever I ate, it just could not hold it in my stomach. That was the most important two places that I remember. Egypt, Bombay of India, and a lot of people. I could not understand why there were so many people outdoors instead of inside their houses. I had no idea that the population was so great. That's about it.
Mm. So you arrived in Mascot at Sydney?
No, first stop in Australia was Darwin.
Oh, right.
But there was only an overnight thing. I do remember Darwin was the first place, because they told us, somebody mentioned to us, there was the bomb by the Japanese, but I didn't understand what they were talking about. Then Mascot. And I stayed in Mascot, and also after that I came to Adelaide by TAA, or TAA I think it was. I'm not sure.
What an adventure for a young child.
It was. I wish I could do it again today, like I said, because I would appreciate it a bit more to see the cultures and everything else.
Yes, it's wonderful. So you arrive in Adelaide, and Mum and Dad and the children are obviously very happy to see you, and you're obviously happy to see them.
Very happy, very happy. Yeah. So happy that everybody was in tears, of course.
Yes, emotional.
One thing that my brothers kept, or my siblings were talking in English, which I did not understand, some English. And I didn't like it. I thought it was, why they're talking a foreign tongue? They're Greek. I couldn't understand it. I didn't like it. But that was on a Saturday I arrived. And Mum being a good mum, Monday morning I was off to school.
Yes. And at this stage, you were 11 years old by this stage.
Yes.
Yes.
I was 11.
Where did you start in school?
I started at Hindmarsh Primary School on Manton Street, Hindmarsh. I remember going to the principal's office, and they said, with an interpreter.
Yes, of course.
And they said, what is your name? I said, Kostandinos. She said, that's Khan is the name. I said, what's that? That's your name. I said, no, Kostandinos. No, Khan. And that stuck by me since then, but that's how it was.
Because I think it was too long.
It was too long. I swore that day that I'd name all my kids Kim. They can't cut him back.
And what grade did they put you in?
They put me in grade one. I was in grade four in Greece. And they put me in grade one here in Australia. And I wasn't the only one like that. There was a lot of Italian, Greek kids. And they, because we didn't speak English, and there was a mistake in a lot of ways, because maths, geography and other things, we were well advanced for our class that they put us in. And instead of trying to do schoolwork, we were actually rebelling. And I feel, today I would say I feel sorry for the school teacher at the time.
You were that bad, were you?
I think not just me. I think it was all of us. Because if you could imagine, Greek kids, Italian kids, war-torn countries. They were more, I wouldn't say advanced, they were more, what is the word I'm trying to find, ponyra. What would you say that in English? Ponyro. The Australians were more naive than what we were.
You were more streetwise.
I think we were. Mm. And being from the city, because we... We used to roam the city and see, you know, a lot of different things. And I thought that Australia at the time was backward, believe it or not.
You had a lot more freedom in Greece.
Yes, we were. Oh, yes. Yes. We had the freedom to do whatever. Well, yes, within reason. Within reason, I say the freedom. Like I said, we were restricted from going to certain places. And one in particular. And in Greece, we built, we make kites. In springtime and so on, we make kites. And there was a place that had beautiful bamboos and we used to make kites out of bamboos. And we thought, we'll go there. There's the bamboos are bigger and stronger. When we started ripping out the bamboos, the very shallow root, we started finding bones and skeletons. So what we did, silly kids, put the skulls on the bamboo and walked in town. We're taken to the police station and a policeman was dispatched to go and get each child's parent. Well, I tell you what, I still got the mark on my on my hip. My father was so embarrassed that a policeman came to his door. Now, there was a bad experience.
So you stayed in primary school until what age?
In Australia?
Australia, yes.
I stayed to the age of 15.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
I actually started working for a place called Globetrotter Caravans. I was doing what that job is called doping, which was to put tape on the edges of the plywood to stop it from waterproofing it. I was there for a very short time. Then I got a job with Sir James and Kirby's, hopefully to get a job as an apprentice for refrigeration. It didn't happen simply because his wife's nephew came out of school and he was only allowed one apprentice. And guess who was taken on? Not me. So, no, I didn't do an apprenticeship, but I always strive to do a bit better than being a labourer. I ended up going putting TV antennas before TV even came to Adelaide. I remember putting TV antennas at Elizabeth, where there was only two houses, an English and a German. And I couldn't understand how two enemies could be neighbours. But anyhow, yeah, and there was the first jobs that I had after leaving school.
Did your siblings continue on to high school?
Yes, they did. They finished school. They ended up with Croydon Boys Technical High School. One of my brothers got a trade as a fitter, turner and toolmaker. The other is... They did well for themselves, all of them. But I did not go to high school. Mm-hmm. I didn't, at the same time, I did not stop learning or teaching myself things that I needed to do better for myself in life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I worked for the gas company. There was a job that I got and a very good job. I built myself up to become the governor of the, what they call the governor, is a person that is looking after a guest holder that governs the guest that goes into each suburb. That locality today is the Theberton, what do they call it, the ice arena?
Oh, right, that's where it was.
That's where it was, and I was in charge there. One of the better jobs I had. And believe it or not, they gave me a gun.
Why?
No bullets. because it was something that they had instilled during the war, had to go around the gas cylinder to make sure nobody would sabotage it. I used to fall over drunks. But the gun was no good to me.
It just looked good. It
yes. Yes.
Okay, so you worked in various jobs for quite a while, but then you want to go into business of your own.
What happened? Like I said, I was working for the gas company. I became redundant. The natural gas came in, and I thought, what am I going to do? I got a good job with the money that I get, so I decided to go into business for myself. And being Greek, well, I guess I went into fish and chip shop, chicken shop, which was starting the chickens at the time. And yes, I ended up opening up a shop on Kensington Road in Arendelle Shopping Centre.
Did you have a good command of the English language by then?
Oh yes, I did. I did. I was actually, my skills in the English language, I think they came to fruition within about 2 years.
Oh, excellent.
The other thing was that as I was growing up, there was a lot of young Greek men coming to Australia, and I enjoyed helping them out with different interpretation that I was doing for them, whereas my father, to bring me here in Australia, found it very difficult by getting some other person, Greek person, to show him where the immigration department was from Hindley Street to North Terrace, where the immigration department was at the time, charged him a week's wages.
You're joking.
I'm not joking. That's a fact. And I got to meet this person later on in life. I wasn't very happy, and neither was he. But anyway,
yes.
No, there was one thing that I pride myself into, helping people wherever they need help. Mm. And even till today, I will do the same for any person.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Well, I mean, say, as my mum used to say, one hand washes the other and both wash the face.
Exactly.
In the English ways, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back.
Exactly. So you started with a fish and chip shop. As you said, many Greeks do that.
Yes.
Why is there a need for these migrants that come out here to want to go into their own business after they've worked for somebody else for a while?
Simply because they have to have security. And what is security? Security is to put a roof over your family's head, educate your children, and the only way to do it is to work harder. And the way we knew that a fish and chip shop, that's the way the Greeks did it, and you knew some other Greek that had a fish and chip shop, as they did, and you saw that they did better than what working in a factory or for a wage, so that's why it was a decision made that way.
Mm-hmm. Was it also that you could include the whole family in working together?
Yes, that is one thing, include the whole family. The other thing is to send their children to a better school for education. And, well, when I was growing up, every child, Australian or Anglo-Saxon, there used to be school holidays, and they used to say, oh, what did you do during the school holidays? Oh, we went on a camp, or we went to Victor Harbour, we went there. And what did you do? We used to stay mute because we didn't do anything. We couldn't afford to do anything.
That's right.
But we wanted to do it. It's not that we didn't want it. We just didn't have the means to be able to do these things.
You couldn't afford these things.
So we wanted our children to do or assimilate them within the society of the country we lived in.
And do better than what you did.
Exactly.
That's what a family wants, for their children to do better.
That's
did
security.
Your parents buy their own home eventually?
Yes, they did. They did buy their own home. And Mum was a very good economist. Although she never worked, Dad worked night shift at GMH, as I said, slept during most of the day. And Mum did all the shopping. Having so many children, we used to go to Black's on the Port Road, the shoe shop, and she used to put a pound every week, because we all needed a pair of shoes. By the time one wore off, the other one needed a pair. So, she scrimped and saved whichever way she could, and put a deposit together to buy a house at Ovingham. I remember the money was not enough for a deposit, and the agent actually lent us money of his own, and I had to go and pay him every Every time my dad got paid, I used to go and give him £5, I think it was.
Repay
to make
him
up.
For the loan,
yeah.
Yes, that he gave you.
Yeah.
And then you obviously got married and you had family of your own and you bought your own home as well?
Yes, I got married young, very young, simply because here in Australia, in the beginning, a lot of the Greek parents were very strict, and a lot of the Anglo-Saxons didn't want to know us. So it's either get married young or get married in any other way you could, you know. So most of my generation did marry young. I was 21 and my wife was very young too. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say her age because she may not like it.
No, but you can understand why your parents were strict. They were protecting you from the unknown, an unknown country.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. They were. Being a parent today and having girls especially, you do become overprotective at times, but you didn't understand at the time, but you do understand as you become a parent.
Yes, of course. Now, growing up, teenager and as a young adult, you would have seen many Greek people coming out here, and some of them were isolated. There was a bit of loneliness. Many of the girls in particular had never been out of their village, and all of a sudden they were here in Australia, far away in a foreign country. How important was it for this new Australians, as they were called back then, how important was it for them to keep their religion, their language, their music, their dancing, their food, basically the culture? How important was it that they maintained that?
Very, very important. I'll tell you, I'll go a step back. My father, when he first came to Australia or Adelaide, they had him booked to go, or had him earmarked to go to Port Lincoln. He didn't go because there's no Greek church there at the time. There was no Greek church. He said, I did not bring my children in Australia or in a foreign country to become atheists. So he decided to stay here in Adelaide. Church is important. It's got, first of all, it gives you rules to abide by. The other thing, keeps the family together. And coming secondly would be friends and family. Now, we didn't have many friends from our part of Greece. Like I said, there was, being from a city, we didn't have, I think it was only one other family was the other side of the city. We used to see them every 3 months where we could get a taxi. I think, like I said, it was important to find another Greek because you found a similarity, something that wasn't foreign. Although we were in a foreign country, we had to assimilate very slowly. It wasn't something that would be done overnight. And they did do it. The people worked hard. Some people had relatives here. They were good. They were lucky because they had family within the family. Also, I don't know, Helen, if you remember being in the house where you used to put pennies to cook and you stand in line.
Yes, of course.
There was a lot of that happening, and there were families that were living together. But we were lucky because there was only our family. But I do remember the penny slot for the guests. But we had, after a while, we got to know a few people that were from the same boat that my parents came, and we used to visit, they visit us, and that was the going thing.
You made friends because basically you were from the same country, you spoke the same language, and you had your same beliefs as well.
Exactly.
So churches were built back then?
There was one church here in Adelaide, a little one in Franklin Street, and we used to go there. And then I remember after that there was a church that was there was a North Terrace. There was the other church that was for a very short period of time. A priest by the name of Karamali was there. And then of course, more priests came out and they started the church at St. George's and the one at Unley. And as time progressed, we got enough churches here in Adelaide, and we thank God our children still maintain their religion.
These churches
their
also,
customs.
No, beg your pardon, these churches also provided Greek schools.
They sure do. They do provide Greek schools, and I'm proud to say that my children, all of them, have gone to the Greek schools. Greek dancing, that's done through the churches initially. Culture, it's and a bit of history of Greek history has been also provided by the schools or the Greek schools. As parents, like I said, most of the Greeks that initially came were not very educated people. So it was important that our kids learn the heritage of their birth or their parents' birthplace.
Exactly. And what about entertainment? How do the Greeks go about entertaining, have a bit of time off, particularly on the weekends?
Yes, there was Olympic Hall.
Bring back memories.
Does bring back memories. Olympic Hall was the place, only place, that it was a family affair. It wasn't just for young or in between. There was everybody, children, babies, old people. It was a Greek gathering. That's what it was. Some good memories, some bad memories, but I'll leave the bad ones behind.
Yes.
There were good memories, and I think the brain always remembers the good memories more than the bad ones.
Exactly. So what did they actually do at the Olympic Hall?
There was a lot of plays. There was poems read to, dances, Greek cuisine, very important. And of course, as a young man, I used to like to go and see some of the young Greek girls there.
Exactly, exactly.
Unfortunately, some of the Greek fathers did not like that.
Overprotective dads.
Overprotective dads, yes.
What about the food? Can you remember as a young man here, was there much Greek food available?
The only one that I know is the Star Grocery in Hindley Street. A corner of Hindley and Morford. Morford?
Yes, it is Morford.
I think it's Morford.
Well, Morford Bridge is there, yes.
Yeah, that was the Star Grocery. That was the where we used to go. Most of the Greeks used to go there and get all their food stuff. But after that, there was a lot that opened up. There was Vageli at Torrensville.
Foodland.
There was Arthur Kontopoulos with this...
Omega Foods.
Yeah, Omega Foods. And then Gaganis Brothers and so on and so on. Now, this any supermarket you go, whether it's Foodland, Coles or anything, you find Greek foods on their shelves. And I remember, and I think you will remember too, Helen, who ate garlic at school? And, you know, it stinks who ate garlic. Now, I think the Australian public eats more garlic than
yes.
what the Greek does.
I think so too now.
And, I think we have, culturally, I think we have a lot that we contributed to this country.
Exactly, exactly, yes.
And I'm proud. I'm
yes.
proud to say that it's good because it brings us closer as a community, as a country. We are not the Wogs or the Dagos or the New Australians that we were branded in the initial stages. We are Konpanagaris and so on and so on and so on. You are known by your name. You got your neighbour who's an Australian and they come to your house, we go to their house, and we assimilated in this country that we can call our own today.
Exactly, and we've both, all of everybody, has gained by this experience.
We have and they have.
Yes, exactly.
I think everybody, like you said, everybody has gained. Mm. We've learned, we grew up. If we face reality, Australia's 200 years old and we have been here 60 years.
Exactly.
So, you know, a third of the country's age, we've been here. So... one thing that I have, maybe it's the wrong thing to say here, I don't like about this country right now is when I have to fill any forms that says Caucasian, Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander. Why brand us that way? We're all Australians and should be. Where were you? Or are born for reasons being of historical or registry? But we're in the same country. Our children are born here. They're Australians, they're not Greeks today. Greece is a foreign country. All they say sometimes, Dad, what happened there? Do you remember this? When they see something on the television, have you been there, Dad? They don't know.
No.
That's the only thing that I said, you know, maybe it's the wrong thing that I'm saying, but I do believe that we should all be equal.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, music and theatre and cinema is very important to Greeks.
Was that
provided at all in the 50s and the 60s?
It was. We had the pictures brought out, the cinema at the Theban Theatre, wrestling,
Of course, yes.
And me, I did Greco-Roman wrestling myself as a young man. I enjoyed it. But most of all, the theatre, the movies, they were bringing our parents closer to home. They were keeping the Greek heritage alive. And we learned. We learned, like, I remember seeing a movie where Fotopoulos and Hatzichristos, done during the Depression in Greece, they go outside the restaurant and they're looking through the window and they say, looking at all the food, they had no money, and they say, I don't like that one, I don't like that one. Oh, there's rice. Can't have rice, it makes you bloat. Now, that was funny to us kids, but the parents remember they went through their hardship. That's what made them come to Australia.
Exactly, yeah. But you also had the comedies, I remember.
Yes.
Back then.
We had the comedies, yes. There was the comedies that we had, and they were good. Hatzichristo. Look, it's like everything else. Comedy is also something that's in cultural because you're dealing with everyday life. It was for us growing up here in Australia, is that really happened? Whereas our parents, they laugh because they experienced it. Yes, it was comedies. There was dancing, there was also bringing artists, and then as we grew and more Greeks, we started as a young man, the Goya.
Which is a Greek organization
for youth and so on. We had a great time there.
Yeah,
young
men. It's the Greek Orthodox Youth of Australia, yes.
And then later on we started the barbecues the picnics. Down Victor Harbour is one place where all the Greeks used to congregate around January, the Australia Day.
Australia Day.
And that was great. I don't know if it's still going. I'll be honest with you. I haven't been for many years. Probably it's not the right thing to do, but like I said, there's so many other things happening.
Well, exactly. Yes.
Now, we had Glendy, and I'm proud to say that I was involved in a big way. I was president of the Lions Club of Adelaide Hellenic.
Well done.
In 1982. And they, with AHEPA, the West Torrens Football Club, and Hella Soccer Club, started the Glendy Greek Festival. Very successful until recent years they went to Adelaide High and then elsewhere. But it's still going. It's still going. And it's good because the young kids are looking forward to going to experience the food, the music and the culture.
Did you find that Glendy also gave the opportunity to the various brotherhoods and the associations, the regional associations, gave them an opportunity to meet in one place. And the different cuisines from the different regions of Greece was there.
Yes, that's true. And we are lucky there. The Greeks haven't got that. We have. We are more Greek than the Greeks there because we do experience the islands north of Greece, south of Greece, east of Greece and west of Greece. We experience all of Greece within that that weekend or that weekend that the Glendi was, like Kalamatin Silos or Messinian Silos, Ilian Silos, and so on and so on and so on. Yes, and we used to say on a Sunday was Australian Day because all the Xeni, in other words, non-Greeks, used to be more of non-Greeks than what they were Greeks. They used to come and enjoy our foods, and there were huge turn coming into the place.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was a good introduction to the non-Greeks to experience the Greek cuisine,
yes,
the Greek music,
yes,
basically the whole Greek culture, and everybody got to love Glendi and looked forward to it every year.
Yes, quite true, quite true. We had some very big names that come, Dalaris for one. Yeah, they were here. The Trio Bel Canto, they were in my house.
Isn't that wonderful?
And they were fantastic, nice people.
Yeah.
We had great times. It was a happy gathering of, and you know, one thing that you didn't see drunks anywhere. Everybody was happy, dancing, drinking and eating and being in a festive mood, which was great. And, you know, in some ways I miss it. Probably I should try and stay longer instead of going for a couple of hours and going home because I'm getting old.
We're saying that at Glendi there were different brotherhoods that took part and they had their own specialties they were selling. In the 50s, a lot of these brotherhoods were formed. Can you tell me why each region needed to have an association of their own?
It's an identification, I would say, and the reason of belonging. Although, like in England, Greece, Italy, you go from one region to another and you have a different custom. The customs here have got smaller because we intermarried with each other, like Greeks within different parts of Greece. So we able to assimilate in the culture that they have from the wife's side or the husband's side or the in-laws. In the initial stages, they came from the region, we stayed within our region.
And you had your own organization
exactly,
in that region.
Exactly, exactly. But like I said, as younger children grew up to be young adults and married within each other, their culture mingled and merged into one.
One other thing that developed in the 50s was the cafenia, the coffee houses. Can you tell us a little bit about the cafenia?
No, I'm sorry, I can't. I have never been a cafenia person.
But what was the reason behind them?
Another reason was, and that was for the older Greeks to be able to see and talk about their lifestyle and work and so on. Me being young that I came here, I didn't have the need.
No.
Whereas the immigrants that came, like our parents, did have the need because
exactly,
there was their meeting place other than church. Very important.
Yes, exactly.
But for me, I cannot say, yes, I did have that experience.
No, but for the older ones, as you said, it was important for them. And can we say it's very similar to the Aussie pub where you solved all the world's problems there? You met over a coffee and you talked about anything and everything.
I can't say it's similar.
No?
I can't say similar simply for this.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a young boy growing up, say 12, 13, 14, I was selling newspapers in Australian hotels.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see women.
No.
All right. Cafenia, you didn't see women
no.
either. But...
No.
In the pub, there was 6 o'clock closing and they would line up the bar with drinks and there were drunks all over the road.
Yes.
Whereas the cafenio, they would go there for different reasons. First of all, to find out if there was a better job going somewhere else.
Good, yes.
The other thing was family, or if they wanted to get a girl married off to see if they, or a boy, to see if they can find somebody that was a matchmaker to have a proxy going.
Yes, yes.
It was a meeting place for their social or lifestyle that was happening. You can't compare the pub to the Café Nil. I can't anyway.
Yes, yeah. No, that's okay. Just I have heard it said it was a men's place, and it was similar to what the Aussies have with their
Aussies have the beer gardens. That was something similar, I would say, in the beer gardens where women and children were allowed, but not in the pub.
No.
Okay. Now, yeah, the Café Nil is a meeting place to discuss events of what's going to happen, future, past, and so on.
Yes, okay. Now, did you ever go back to Greece?
I did at the age of 41, 33 years after I came to Australia.
How did you feel when you went to your...
Foreign.
...city?
Very foreign in my own country. Right from the gate where I came into the airport until I left the... excise or what do they call the what is it, the
at the airport we left when we left at the airport
when I went to Greece?
Yes,
right. They had trouble with the video camera, first of all, like the people that were
customs,
that's the word.
Yes,
that's the word, you got it. Customs.
That's okay. Yes.
It was stamped and sealed with the Australian seal.
Yes.
And they told me here I did not have to unpack it in Greece. They would give it to me in Athens as I got to the airport. When I got there, they wanted me to unpack it and tell them. I said, there's the paperwork and everything else. Anyhow, look, I had a lot of problems initially.
Okay.
When I got out of the airport, meet the relatives, or Australos.
The Australian.
I said, I was born here. No, you're the Australian. I was branded something that I didn't like. Mm. The Australian in Greece, the Greek in Australia. I thought, where the hell do I belong? But I went there during election time. As you know, we had elections recently here. Nobody knew what would happen. There, I'm sure that the whole country moves from one side of Greece to the other. If it was an island, I reckon it would have tipped. But no, it was an experience. It was an experience.
Sounds like it.
But I loved it. As I stayed, longer than I stayed, the more I liked it. I started to get into the routine of things. I stayed 6 weeks in Greece. But like I said, my relatives in Greece are from all over of Greece, and I didn't know them really. They were strangers to me.
Well, you were too young when you left.
Oh, that is one of the things. The other thing, I never knew them as a young child. So to me, they were strangers that I met. But I did not stay in one place in Greece. When every second day I moved on to get to know Greece as much as possible. I liked it. I would go back, yes, but for a holiday, no more.
So home is where?
Here. Home
Very
is
emphatic.
Here. Here, Australia is home. Australia's been good for us.
Yes.
We'll never ever stop being Greek. Never. It's something that if you rip your part, your heart or your body apart, you find Greece in there. But we could not live there once we experienced life here.
No.
That's what I believe anyway.
It's very difficult, isn't it? Well, thank you very much, Con, for today. It's been a wonderful experience listening to your story. Is there anything else you would like to add?
There is one other thing I'd like to add, and that is... my wife.
Yes.
I've been very, very lucky, very blessed in the way that I got a great woman as my wife. She's been a partner, a mother, and a good person. Above all, a very fair person. She worked alongside of me for for the family and still does. And I thank her very much for being my partner. And you, Helen, for being the person that you are, a nice person, and I'm real pleasure to get to know you.
Thank you very much, Con. It's been a pleasure speaking to you and getting to know you too.
Thank you.
Thank you once again.